Welcome to Success AF, Customer Success Podcast Series. This is JD.
And this is Elena.
In Series 2 of our podcast series, we explore customer success trends and the future of CS. Each episode is a short and insightful discussion or interview. We also apply a global lens and explore cultural nuances that create a unique twist. In this episode, Elena and I discuss customer health scores, our experiences implementing and monitoring them as a leading indicator for customer success. Remember to subscribe for more Success AF.
Hey, JD, how you doing?
Hey, Elena, doing well. How has your day been?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So on the topic of monitoring health, earlier and thought it would be a good introduction. So JD, how do you monitor your own personal health?
Well, in terms of my activity levels, I generally use my Apple Watch to track my activity levels. When I go to the gym or I go for a run, that's where you can easily log the activity into your Apple Watch, and that actually seamlessly translates all the data across your Apple devices. In addition to that, that actually helps me to do away with that spreadsheet style tracking that I used to do.
Yeah, me too.
So it has been great. Technology and advancement has helped us immensely. But in addition to that, I do use other indicators on my Apple Watch to track my health, right? So one interesting thing that I do track is my heart rate. And one thing that I found out after researching a bit is that your heart rate or your baseline heart rate actually helps you to identify and be a leading indicator of whether you're starting to fall sick. So generally, I look at my baseline heart rate when I'm sleeping or when I'm in deep sleep. And when that starts to trend upwards, that is an indicator that I'm starting to fall sick, combined with other factors that I notice about my own body. So maybe I'm starting to feel that cough coming, that flu coming, and I'll be trying to take it easy from then on, you know, that those are kind of leading indicators that I'm starting to fall sick. And I don't want it to go into like a full-blown cold or flu.
Yeah. So basically, as you see your health going from green and maybe trending towards a yellow, you try to get in and with some preventative measures to mitigate the risk of a full-blown red and getting sick.
Exactly, in a very customer success-centric manner. How about you, Elena?
So I am guilty of many years of religiously keeping an Excel spreadsheet long ago. I then was obsessive for a long time with my Fitbit and the 10,000 steps. And then it's almost like as devices have proliferated on the market, it's like I just had the reverse myself and decided that, you know what, I'm going to be a little bit less obsessive. And now I don't really track too much of anything. I mean, I do kind of use Google Health a little bit, not to a great extent. I'm certainly way more relaxed about it than I used to be. So it's interesting, though. I definitely have a curiosity, though. So I kind of see in my near future, I'm going to get sucked back into having a device and becoming obsessive about all of my data again.
Well, like we said just now, right? Maybe we can learn to enjoy life a little bit more. I do think I did stop tracking what I'm eating on a daily basis, all the calories and all that, because I feel that that has taken up a lot of my time and energy. And it has been a good run, right? I did see myself moving to a slightly healthier state, but it wasn't exponential.
Yeah.
So I thought, like you said, enjoy life a little.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I'm keeping myself active, generally healthy, not eating junk food every single day, I think we're fine.
Yeah, I totally agree. So on that then, what is customer health scoring? So let's do a little bit of alignment up front. So customer health score, it's a metric largely used by customer success teams that we use to indicate internally if we consider a customer to be healthy or if they're at risk. How that's determined is generally a pretty subjective process and honestly varies pretty much from company to company, and really is used to help customer success teams and product teams to assess the likelihood of a customer growing, renewing, or even churning. So why is a health score important, JD? So we talked about it earlier. A couple of the big ones are, especially from a success perspective, identifying risk early, right? Just like you with your Apple Watch, getting those indicators early so that you can address and mitigate risk. Seeing patterns so that can recognize unhappy customers, but also on the plus side, identifying opportunities for account growth, right? And also gives businesses a gauge of where their customer satisfaction is lying. But all of that kind of depends, are we looking at qualitative factors or quantitative factors, JD?
Yeah, exactly. I think you summarized it very well. And it is pretty subjective right now, but there are a few factors that do come in when we try to determine what a good benchmark for customer health is at. So when talking about quantitative factors, I think we typically talk about utilization, customers' satisfaction scores, the NPS score, or support metrics and interactions when customers interact with support, right? In terms of qualitative factors, that's where I feel account management and the account relationships come in. So stakeholder engagement with the customers, customer attrition, that's where your customer champions leave or decision makers leave. Those are the more intangible factors that come in that sometimes indicate risk or opportunity for you to re-engage with an account. In addition to that, those factors actually culminate into what we usually build up to become a health score. And in my personal experience, I've seen a combination of these factors coming into play when building a health score and some of them being left out, depending on the type of product you're serving to the customers.
Okay, yeah. So at where do you see those differences lie?
So I think in terms of a more technical product like mine,
yeah,
the support interaction and the type of questions that are being asked are actually fairly important because it helps you to understand how good of an understanding the customer has with regards to your product. And we usually build something like a word cloud that actually helps us to understand what the customer is asking about the most in a particular account. And then that helps us to drive the activities to go into, do we educate a customer more with regards to this topic to enable them or if they need professional services? So those are some of the types of plays that I have experienced. I think utilization sometimes becomes a much more important gauge or guide, helping us to determine whether customer health trends upwards or trends green or not. What do you think, Elena?
Yeah, I love your word cloud example. And I think that's a great in-product example of something that's really important. So typically when we're looking at utilization, a lot of what we look at is, you know, so for example, you've got activated seats, but also what is the combination of utilization of different aspects of the product or different features and how those maybe combine to also give you indicators of how even though the product is less technically complex, by looking at the combination of different utilization factors, you can also get a picture through the product of what some of the potential risk might be if the customer's not engaging in the product.
Yeah.
So JD, what about the qualitative factors you mentioned? To me, there's definitely a qualitative and a quantitative aspect to that, right? Sure, you might be engaging all the time, but is it with somebody who is a decision maker or even an influencer, or is it somebody who, you know, likes your product, it's really easy to have a great everyday relationship where you get along really well and they like the product and they're meeting their results. But if you don't know where they are in terms of the decision process or how much influence they have, then you might actually have really high stakeholder engagement, but with the wrong people.
Exactly. I think that's where we still talk about how customer health scoring is fairly subjective and where the qualitative element comes in. And I'll share a personal anecdote here where I am fairly engaged with a customer. Let's just call them customer A, right? The users are actually pretty influential in the decision making of the usage of our software. And our software is currently being deployed in a mission critical system, making the customer millions of dollars every month. And they're happy. They meet with us every week. We have check-ins, we have QBRs. But behind the scenes, this customer, customer A, is actually trying to build a tool that replaces our software.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. And we didn't know that until when we tried to get higher level engagement, so somewhat along the lines of a VP of engineering, where they actually shared with us that someone in that team, the user team internally, raised their hand and said, why don't we try to build something that replaces that since you're already paying so much for it, right? We're going to save money. So I guess that's where that relationship and that qualitative element comes in, where you need to know, like you said, whether you're engaging with the right stakeholders, whether they're the decision makers, and whether you can actually actively influence them to stay with you and identify the key risks that lead to monitoring customer health scores.
And that's a great example of where if you didn't have that relationship, you wouldn't have gained that insight. You would have been merrily thinking, all of these indicators are great, we're green, we're good to go, and then blindsided by churn. Oh, oh, it hurts.
Yeah. So I think that is a very good anecdote of why health scoring comes in, but also that CSM element, the qualitative element, relationship element, all culminates into a overall view on where the customer is really at. And why maybe the red, yellow, green still is very relevant to how we do health scoring.
I hear you.
We were talking about health scoring, how things still remain fairly subjective, but there is a quantitative and qualitative element to it that we can identify. But what do you think is the future of successful customer health scoring, Elena?
Look, I think data is going to change everything. You know, as we get more and better quality data, that will back up the qualitative assessments. You know, and when we were talking earlier, I was saying, you know, if we think back to when Momo from Heads Up joined us at the beginning of the series, I think it was episode one, and talking about product-led growth, I think a lot of that is what's going to inform the red, yellow, green, or the RYG or of customer health. And I still think there's a need for that qualitative piece, right? So we have more and better data, and we will combine that with the personal insights that you get from the relationship. And those two things together, I see driving, you know, strategies around risk mitigation or your plays around particular opportunities and expansion plays.
I think that that is so true because the quality of the data will only get better, right? And that would actually help bolster our customer health scores. So I think in the near term, we're still going to be slightly limited because of data processing rules and regulations that's going to kind of block certain utilization data from our customers.
All right, so red, yellow, green, we covered a bit of personal health scoring as well as some customer health scoring. To summarize our discussion of the topic from a customer success perspective, customer health scores enable us to both identify risk and opportunity. There are two elements of it, both qualitative and quantitative. And as much as we see more and better data continuing to evolve, there will, we believe, still always be that qualitative element to prescribing a customer health score. And finally, it's important to consider how data and that input, whether it's qualitative or quantitative, adds value to executive reporting. So for example, looking at the combinations of accounts that are churning or flagged as red and what product issues there might be, or where you have red accounts, perhaps in a particular segment or use case. So that can influence where the business should invest. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, JD, for a great discussion as always. Please do, we welcome your feedback. So please let us know any topics of interest, or of course, if you would like to join us in a future episode. And remember, like or follow Success AF on your favorite podcast platform.